Hello. You are listening to the Grieving Parents Sharing Hope podcast. We are here to walk with parents on their unwanted journey of child loss, guiding them to a place of hope, light, and purpose, not in spite of their child's death, but as a way to honor his or her life. And now, here is your host, author, speaker, and bereaved parent, Laura Deal.
Hi, welcome to today's episode. Raise your hand if you have ever thought, this is not the life I was supposed to be living. I'm guessing every single person raised their hand. I know I did. None of us listening to this podcast episode woke up one day and decided this was the life we wanted. None of us dreamed of becoming a bereaved parent, a bereaver. We didn't choose to say goodbye to our child. We didn't choose the shock, the trauma, the questions, or the suffocating darkness that followed. We didn't choose the empty chair at the table, the birthdays that now bring tears along with or maybe even instead of the celebrations or the milestones our son or daughter should have been here to experience. We did not choose this life. And because we didn't choose it, it's easy to feel like we have no choices at all. Now, in those early days of grief, that's often very true. Grief takes over everything. Our minds can't think clearly. Our emotions are all over the place. Just getting through the day can take every ounce of strength we have. There isn't much room left for making decisions because it feels like grief is making them for us. But as time passes, something begins to happen. Not because the pain is gone, not because we suddenly feel stronger, but because little opportunities begin to appear. We find ourselves facing small decisions. They may seem insignificant, but they're not. Those little choices can begin shaping the direction of our journey. And I want to be very careful here because I never want anyone to hear me say something I'm not saying. And that's been happening a lot lately. They'll just read a heading or the title of a blog or a podcast, and they'll make comments underneath it without listening to what I'm actually saying. I am not talking about choosing whether or not to grieve. We don't get that choice. I'm not talking about pretending like everything's okay because it's not. And I'm certainly not saying that if we just try harder, we'll feel better. What I am talking about is something I've been thinking about again recently, and it's the idea that life often gives us two hard paths. We don't get to choose whether the path is hard. Sometimes we only get to choose which hard we're going to live. Now, one of the phrases along this line, just to show what I'm talking about, you may hear someone say, choosing marriage is hard, choosing divorce is hard, choose your hard. So that's what I mean. By two paths, you get to choose which difficult path you want to walk on. One of the hardest parts about the death of our child is that for a long time, it does feel like we have no choices at all. Like I said, grief just takes over everything. Just getting through another day can feel like more than we have to give. And if that's where you are right now, I want you to know this is not directed at you, but you can listen to this with hope of what can be. Those early days, those weeks, months are about surviving. Your brain is trying to process a trauma. Your heart has been shattered, and there's no timetable for that. But somewhere along the way, something does begin to shift just a little bit. It's usually not dramatic. In fact, you probably won't even notice that it's happening. One day you realize you actually have a decision to make. It might be something as simple as deciding whether to cook a meal instead of grabbing a bowl of cereal or going through the drive-thru again. Maybe a friend invites you out for coffee, and instead of automatically saying no, you actually stop to consider it. Maybe you pick up your Bible for the first time in a long time. You may only read a verse or two before setting it back down again, but you picked it up. Those things matter. They don't sound like big victories to anyone else, but for a grieving parent, they can be huge. Those small choices are not about loving your child less or somehow leaving them behind. They're not about pretending that life is okay again. They're simply the first tiny steps of learning how to live in a life you never would have chosen. I think sometimes we overlook those little moments because we're waiting for some giant breakthrough. We think healing is going to come. Maybe in just like one big moment, I'll wake up and I'll finally feel better. But that's rarely how God works, how this grief thing works. More often, He meets us in those small choices. One conversation, one meal, one walk outside, one verse of scripture, one prayer that simply says, God, I don't even know what to pray today, but I'm here. Those little choices may seem insignificant, but like I said, they're not. They are often the very things God uses to begin moving us forward, not because the pain is less, but because He is gently reminding us that while grief has changed our lives, it doesn't have to stop our lives for the rest of our life. And I know even saying those words, move forward, can make some of you uncomfortable or even bristle, because it can sound like we're talking about moving away from our child. And that, once again, that's not what I mean by those words at all, because we never move on from our child. In fact, every day we're getting closer and closer to seeing and being with them again. But until then, we carry them with us every single day, and we can begin taking small steps forward in the life that we are still here to live. And those are two very different things. As I was thinking about what I wanted to share with you today, I realized something that honestly I wish were not true. I wish I could tell you there was an easy way through this. I wish I had discovered some shortcut over the years that I could share with you, because believe me, if I had, I would share it with you, but I haven't. What I have discovered is that there really isn't an easy path. No matter which direction we turn, it's hard. It's hard to get out of bed some mornings. It's hard to face another birthday or another holiday. It's hard to walk into church when your child isn't sitting beside you. It's hard to open your Bible when you're struggling with questions you never thought you would be asking. It's hard to talk to a counselor and revisit the worst day of your life, or maybe be in a support group and share that. It's hard to go to a support group and actually even admit that this is where I belong, because I know we feel like I don't belong here. I shouldn't have to be in a group where they've lost a child. It's hard to look at pictures. It's hard to make plans for the future when the future wasn't supposed to look like this. It's all hard. But over the years, I've noticed something else. Staying isolated is hard. Never talking about your child because it hurts too much is hard. Never looking at a picture of your child is hard. Believing nothing will ever change is hard. Living with anger every day is hard. Feeling like your life ended the day your child died is hard. That's all hard too. So maybe the question isn't, how do I avoid the hard? Maybe that's the wrong question altogether. Maybe the better question is, which hard leads me somewhere? And I've thought a lot about that. When I choose to have a difficult conversation, it is hard. But sometimes that conversation brings healing. It's hard when I feel the tears coming and I want to try to stop them. But a lot of times those tears bring the release I needed for that moment or that day. When I choose to trust God on a day when I don't understand what He is doing, that's hard, but trusting Him anyway also strengthens my faith. That's what trust is, right? It's still believing in somebody when you don't understand, you don't get it. That's what trust is. That's what faith is. When I choose to get together with a friend instead of staying home by myself and just the word comes to me, marinating in my sorrow, just wanting to feel sorry for myself and having a self-pity party, that's hard. But I haven't regretted spending time with someone who understands or who simply cares enough to sit with me. And those choices don't take away my grief. They don't make me miss Becca any less. They don't erase the ache of wishing she were still here, but they do help me keep moving toward hope and light and life. Healing for me was not one giant leap forward. Healing, or rebuilding our life, is not like our child never existed and we're fine now. That's impossible. But when I talk about healing or rebuilding our life, I'm talking about being able to function again, to get beyond just survival mode, and then being able to learn how to live a life of meaning and purpose again. And that's not in spite of our child's death, but it's because of his or her life. It has been one small, difficult choice after another. Choices I didn't always feel like making. Choices that sometimes scared me. Choices that often took more energy than I thought I had. And looking back now, I can see that God met me in those choices. Not because I was strong enough to make them on my own, but because every time I took even the smallest step toward him, he was already there, giving me strength to stand and take that next step. I think that's what this journey looks like for all of us. It's getting to the point where we ask God to help us choose the hard that leads us closer to him, the hard that leads us toward hope, choosing the hard that helps us keep living this life we never would have chosen. As I have walked this journey with grieving parents over the last 12 to 15 years, I've heard bereavers say things like, it's hopeless, or I'll never get past this, or I'll never get to the place where you are. That might be good for you, but I don't see me ever getting there. I've heard those things more times than I can count. Maybe you have said those words yourself. Maybe you've never spoken them out loud, but you've felt them. And I understand that. I had some of those same thoughts myself at the beginning of this unwanted, unchosen journey. But over the years, I have learned things, and something that has helped me whenever those thoughts begin creeping in, when I hear myself thinking those things like it's hopeless, I can't get there, I can't do this, I can't move forward, I can't see my life 10 years down the road without Becca, I have to ask myself, what am I hoping in? Because that question can change everything. Because if I'm hoping that life will somehow go back to the way it was before Becca died, then yes, that's hopeless. We know that isn't going to happen. If I'm hoping that someday I'll wake up and no longer miss her and it won't hurt so much, that's not going to happen either, because none of us ever stop missing our children. Now, hopefully the prayer and the goal is to not hurt as much. Now, I've had parents that'll say, my child died 10 years ago and I hurt just as much as I did the day I found out. And I find that hard to believe, because if I were hurting as much as I did, like that first week or month or few months, I would still be curled up in a ball, unable to function. So it's really hard for me to believe that you can be years down the road and hurt just as much. Now, it may hurt in a different way, and it's still excruciatingly painful, but I think for the most part, we're at least functioning and we're doing things that we could not do those first few days or weeks. So if I'm hoping that this pain is just going to disappear completely, I'll only end up discouraged, because that's not how grief works. Missing them is part of loving them. And there are hopes that simply cannot be fulfilled this side of heaven. And that reminds me of something that happened years before Becca went to heaven. She was being taken away to have her baby, and the doctors told us they would only give her a 50-50 chance of surviving. They just did not know what her heart was going to do. She had severe heart issues. You can go to our website, gpshope.org, and click the About tab and read about Becca. I'm not going to go into that here, but we had no idea what was waiting for us. We did not know if we were going to end up with our daughter and a grandchild, if we would only have one of them, or if we were going to lose both of them. And I remember standing there crying in Dave's arms, saying, I don't know why I'm crying, because I know that I know that I know that I trust God. And he said something that I have never forgotten. He said, it's because we don't know which direction we're going to have to trust him for. And those words have stayed with me all these years. I think that's where so many of us find ourselves. It's often not that we've stopped trusting God. It's that we don't know what he's asking us to trust him for. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know, you know, that trusting is a little bit rocky because we thought we trusted him that our nothing bad like that was going to happen to our kids, and he let it happen. And so we don't know what the next phone call is going to be. We don't know what the next wave of grief will look like or what the future holds. We simply don't know which direction we're going to have to trust him for at this point. Hope is not believing that everything is going to turn out the way I want it to. Real hope isn't expecting life to become what it once was. My hope isn't even in feeling better. My hope is in Christ. The Christ who was tortured horribly and then allowed himself to be murdered in a torturous way for a crime he did not commit, so that I could experience the depth of his love, so I could experience the depth of the Father's love, because Jesus said, the Father and I are one. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So that in his resurrection power, we could be resurrected and death would not be the end of the story. My hope is that he is still with me, even on the darkest days. My hope is that he is still working, even when I can't see what he's doing. My hope is that he will continue giving me the strength I need for whatever lies ahead. And my hope is that because of Jesus, this separation from Becca is not forever. And this is a hope that I can stand on. It's not just wishful thinking. I have evidence that these things are going to happen. That brings us back to the question, what am I hoping in? If my hope is anchored in my circumstances changing, then yes, I will probably feel hopeless. But if my hope is anchored in Christ, then I can still have hope even when my circumstances never change, or when they change again in a way that I wasn't expecting, I didn't want. That's why I love what Paul says in Romans 15:13, which is the scripture verse that the ministry of GPS Hope is built on. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. I love that description of him. He isn't just the one who gives us hope. He is the God of hope. Just like he is the God of love, he is the God of hope. And as we put our trust in him, he becomes the source of the hope we so desperately need. One of the practical ways I think God helps us take those small steps forward is by sometimes inviting us to do something new. Now, before you tune me out, I'm not talking about making huge life changes. I am not suggesting you go out and reinvent yourself or become someone you're not. I'm talking about something much smaller. Sometimes it's simply trying something you haven't done before, or maybe it's picking up something you used to enjoy years ago that somehow got left behind. Over the years, I've watched so many grieving parents discover things they never expected would become part of their healing journey. Some have taken up photography. Others have learned or gone back to pottery. Some have started writing poetry or songs. Others have found joy in camping, learning to play an instrument, picking their instrument back up, or creating beautiful artwork. For some, those interests have even grown into businesses or ministries, but that's not really the point. The point isn't becoming good at something. The point is allowing yourself to discover that life still holds moments of purpose, creativity, and yes, even joy again. After Becca died, I eventually picked up my knitting needles again. It had been years since I had knitted. In fact, when my kids were little, I spent hours knitting things for them. One year, I even made matching Easter outfits. And then life got busy and knitting became one of those things that I hadn't done in a very long time. Picking it up again, it didn't take away my grief. It didn't make me miss Becca any less, but it did remind me that there was still something inside me that could create instead of only mourn. I think sometimes we feel guilty when we find ourselves enjoying something again. It's almost as if smiling or learning something new somehow means we're leaving our child behind, but that's simply not true. It is not the pain that we feel of missing them that keeps us connected to them. It is our love that keeps us connected. Our children will always be part of us. Trying something new doesn't lessen our love for them. It doesn't erase our memories of them. It doesn't mean we've stopped grieving. It simply means we're allowing God to breathe a little life into places that have felt dark for a very long time. You know, as I've been talking in recent episodes about rebuilding our lives after child loss, I've been using the picture of rebuilding a house. And the more I think about it, the more I realize something. A house does not rebuild itself. At some point, someone has to pick up a hammer, not because they feel like it necessarily, not because the work is not overwhelming, but because rebuilding requires taking that first step. Maybe trying something new is like picking up that hammer. It may feel awkward. It may even feel a little scary. You may wonder if it's worth the effort, but maybe it's one of those tools that God wants to use in your life as He continues rebuilding your life. You don't have to do something big. You don't have to become an expert. You don't even have to know if you'll enjoy it. Just be willing to take one small step. Usually that's all God is asking of us. And sometimes that one small step becomes the first crack where His light begins to shine into places that have felt dark for far too long. Something else I have learned over the years is that sometimes it helps to change not only what we're choosing, but how we're thinking about those choices. I wrote about this in my book, Reflections of Hope, which is a daily reading for bereaved parents. And as I was preparing for this episode, I found myself reading it again and thinking, I'd forgotten how much I need this reminder myself sometimes. It is so easy after the death of our child to think about everything from the standpoint of what we cannot do. I can't go there. I can't face those people. I can't celebrate. I can't enjoy myself. I can't fill in the blank. And sometimes those thoughts are very real and they're things that we truly are not ready for in the beginning, and that's okay. I'm not talking about forcing ourselves into situations before we're ready. What I'm talking about is something that can happen as time goes on. Instead of asking ourselves, what can't I do, what I can't do, and choosing to go against something, maybe we can begin asking a different question. What am I choosing for? What am I choosing that I can do? I found that just changing one word can completely change the way I look at a situation. For example, maybe a friend invites you to meet for coffee. At first, your mind says, I don't want to go. I don't feel like talking. I'd rather stay home. I can't do that. You're choosing to go against this opportunity, and I have certainly had days like that. I'll admit I still have days like that. But what if instead of thinking about what you're trying to avoid, you ask yourself, what would I be choosing for if I went? Maybe you're choosing the friendship itself. Maybe you're making a choice for a connection. Maybe you're making a choice for an hour that reminds you there's still kindness in this world. Maybe you're making a choice to give someone the opportunity to listen while you talk about your child. Or maybe you're simply choosing to allow yourself to be cared for by a friend. The coffee really isn't the point. The point is, what are you making a choice for? What are you choosing for instead of choosing against? The same can be true when you decide to open your Bible, even if you don't feel like it. You're not just reading a few verses because it's what good Christians are supposed to do. You're choosing to spend time with the one who loves you more than anyone else ever could. You're choosing to let him speak into your pain, even if all you can manage is 1 or 2 minutes. Or maybe you decide to take a walk or work on a hobby or accept an invitation you've been turning down for months. You're not choosing those things because you've stopped grieving. You're choosing them because you're taking one more small step toward the life God is helping you to rebuild. And I think that's an important distinction. When we only think about what we're choosing against, we can end up feeling like we're constantly fighting our grief. But when we begin to think about what we're choosing for, we start seeing that these little decisions are moving us toward something. They're moving us toward, like I said, connection. They're moving us toward hope. They're moving us toward healing. And remember, healing is not like we're forgetting about our child and living a life like this never happened. We're talking about getting out of that survival mode and moving in a direction where life is worth living again. Isn't that really what rebuilding is? It's not one giant decision that changes everything overnight. It's hundreds of little choices made one at a time that slowly begin putting the pieces back together again. Now, I know when Becca died, I felt like my heart had shattered into so many pieces that I wouldn't even be able to find the pieces, much less put them back together again. But that is one of God's specialties, putting us back together, bringing life into death. And I'm talking about our life because we feel like we died when our child died. Some of those choices will be harder than others. Some days you'll feel like you've taken three steps backward instead of one step forward. And that's just part of this journey. But every time you choose for something that brings you closer to God, closer to others, or even one tiny step closer to the life He still has for you, you're moving in a direction that leads somewhere. And I believe God honors those choices. He meets us there, giving the strength we need for the next small step. As we wrap up this part of today's episode, I want to leave you with one thought. None of us chose this life. If we could have chosen, every one of us would have chosen to keep our child here with us. We would have chosen a completely different story. But that is not the choice that's in front of us today, unfortunately. The choice we do have is how we will walk through this life we have been given. Will it be hard? Absolutely. There are going to be days when getting out of bed feels hard. Trusting God feels hard. Saying yes to an invitation feels hard. Trying something new feels hard. Taking even one tiny small step forward feels hard. But I've also learned that staying stuck is hard. Living without hope is hard. Living in a suffocating darkness day after day, week after week, month after month, and year after year is hard. Believing nothing will ever change is hard. So maybe the question is not whether this journey will be hard. The question is, which hard leads me closer to the God of hope? Because that's the hard I want to choose. Not because I enjoy it, not because it hurts any less, but because I have discovered that every time I take one small step toward Him, He is already there, ready to take that step with me. You don't have to figure out the rest of your life today. You don't have to know what next year will look like. You don't even have to know what next month, next week, or even tomorrow will look like. Just ask God to help you take the next small step and then trust Him with the one after that. I did mention my book, Reflections of Hope, which is a daily devotional for bereaved parents. Now, I have a hardback book that is 366 days because I even put an entry in there for February 29th when it's leap year. I've heard from so many parents how much this book helps them. It's not something you have to read every day or feel like you have to keep up with. You can if you want to. I know there are people that use it as a coffee table book or a bedside book, and they do try to read that day's entry every day. But sometimes we just need a little something to get through a week, or today is an extra rough day, and you can just turn to that day's reading and read that day for a little bit of extra hope and encouragement. Now, like I said, we do have the book that is for every day for a full year. You don't have to start in January. Just start on the day that you're on when you get it. But we also have divided that up into 12 monthly books so that when you hit those more difficult months, if you want, you can just order that month's book and have daily readings, or whenever you need that extra something, you'll have it for that really tough month that you're trying to get through. Now, these are not books that we sell on our website. We don't keep the Reflections of Hope books in our inventory, but you can go to the website. It'll direct you where to order on Amazon or other places. You can just go to gpshope.org/store, or you can go to gpshope.org/books and find out more about the Reflections of Hope book. And we will also have a link to that in the show notes. I do want to remind you, we have a GPS Hope and Healing retreat coming in October. It will be in Sarasota, Florida. And as of right now, we have room for one more couple and for two moms. So if you're interested in that, please check it out before the rooms are taken. Pray about it. Ask God if this is where He wants you to be. Go to gpshope.org/retreat. There will also be a link to that in the show notes. And the last thing I just want to mention is the GPS Hope and Healing Cruise. Now, that is a year from October of 2027. And it's a wonderful time. We have been part of the grief cruises for 4 years. Lynn Finley, the person who started this, has been doing it for 10 years. And she turned it over to us. This cruise is for any loss, any deep loss, but we will have special workshops and things for bereaved parents. So check that out as well, gpshope.org/cruise, or click on the link in the show notes. Every episode, we take a few minutes to honor the children who have birthdays that week, and it is now time to do that. Aaron McGee was born on August 7th and is forever 34. We celebrate with his family the day Aaron came into the world, because that is still a day that is worth celebrating. Now, obviously, we only had one birthday that was sent in for this week. I would be honored to add your son or daughter to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. We only announce it for the year you send it in, and Dave sends out an email to remind you to listen. Just go to gpshope.org/birthdays, fill in the needed information, and I will add your son or your daughter to the birthday segment the week of his or her birthday. Before we go, I do want to leave you with one last thought. None of us would have chosen this life. If someone had asked us years ago what we wanted our future to look like, not a single one of us would have chosen to become a bereaved parent. We would have chosen to watch our children grow older. We would have chosen more birthdays, more holidays, more hugs, more conversations, and more memories together. But that's not the life we were given. And while we didn't get to choose this life, we do get to choose how we will live it out. That doesn't mean the choices are easy. We've been talking about that. They're often incredibly hard. But as we've talked about this today, we realize there are different kinds of hard. There's the hard of taking one more step when you don't feel like it. There's the hard of trusting God when you don't understand what He's doing. There's the hard of opening your heart to hope again. And then there's the hard of remaining stuck, the hard of believing that nothing will ever change, and the hard of allowing grief to convince us that this is all life will ever be and it's not worth living. Neither of those roads is easy, but one of those roads leads us closer to the God of hope. As I look back over my own journey where I've come at this point, I realize healing did not come because I made one big courageous decision. It came because, with God's help, I made hundreds of very small choices. Some days, those choices didn't seem important at all, but God was using every one of them to gently rebuild a life I would have never chosen. And maybe that's where you are today. You're anxious because you don't know what tomorrow holds, and honestly, you don't have to. You simply need to know the one who does. As a matter of fact, I have a plaque to remind me of this. It says, "I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know the one who does." Just ask God to help you to choose your next step, the next small choice that moves you toward Him, because I truly believe that is the hard that leads us out of the darkness and back into a place of hope and light. So until next time we're together, remember to hold on. Pain eases. There is hope.